Hello, my name is Lachlan, and I am the host and creator of Mind Clickers. I am a sport and exercise science student with a passion for esports, athlete well-being, and performance. Mind Clickers is a show where I chat with professional esports athletes, traditional athletes, coaches, and management staff behind the scenes in esports environments. In the following episode, I chat with Anthony Drumick, who is playing for the Brisbane Bullets in the Australian National Basketball League. Anthony is also very committed to perfecting his online craft, as he's been live streaming on Twitch for over 8 years, providing an array of content for various games. In the following episode, listen to Anthony describe himself being in the flow state and having the ability to out-edge his opponents mentally to be concise and perform consistently. Anthony also talks about the importance of team communication and team culture, alongside briefly talking about the impact of injury and self-confidence. Thank you very much for tuning in for episode 6 of Mind Clickers. This is your host Lachlan, and I hope you enjoy. Hey guys, and welcome back to episode 6 of Mind Clickers, where it's time to click both heads in 2020. I'm joined here today by Anthony Drumick, who is currently the shooting guard for the Brisbane Bullets, Australian national basketball team, and avid Twitch streamer. How are you going today, mate?
Good. How are you doing?
Yeah, very good. Thank you. Firstly, thank you for taking the time to come on Mind Clickers. How's everything up there where you are?
Yeah, everything's good. I mean, Brisbane at the moment's pretty normal. You know, pray COVID doesn't come back. Yeah, I mean, been living here now for about 6 weeks. Loving the weather, loving the people. Yeah, just enjoying life, I guess.
Fantastic. Sounds awesome, mate. I guess we'll just kick it off with a little bit of background about yourself, including your basketball career.
All right. Well, it's pretty long, but I've been playing basketball pretty much since I was born. My brother played professionally as well. He's 14 years older than me, so it was kind of like a pathway to get into it. So I've been playing for a long time. Did all the junior stuff, played for state teams, junior Australian teams, all that stuff. Was fortunate enough to go to the AIS, the Australian Institute of Sport. I think it has a different name now. Might be Center of Excellence or something. Essentially, top 12 juniors in the country, training there every day, getting better. And then from that, was able to get an opportunity to go to America, which I ended up playing 5 years for Boise State University in Idaho, which is in the middle of nowhere. But that was a good experience. Was able to really develop my game and get a lot better. And then last four seasons I've spent over in Adelaide playing for the 36ers. Four year pro in the NBL, and this will be my fifth over here in Brisbane.
Fantastic. That sounds really awesome. So I guess, you know, having that experience in the US and then bringing it back to Australian soil really helped you to craft your basketball game.
Yeah. I was actually really lucky when I was at Boise. My first, I don't know, people understand how it works, but you know, when your first year you're a freshman, last year you're a senior, sophomore, junior, in between that, there were seven seniors who graduated. So I was lucky enough that when I stepped in as a freshman, there was a lot of minutes up for grabs, and I was playing really well, so was able to get a lot of experience. And you know, I'm a firm believer that, you know, you can practice all you want, but playing a large number of minutes in the game is where you really perfect your craft and, you know, getting that experience, if that makes sense.
Yeah, 100%. So adding on to your current Twitch streaming background, how did everything like that come around?
Okay, so I've actually been streaming for almost 8 years now. Started back in college. Yeah, it's been a while. I started off sophomore year, I think, with League of Legends. Then, you know, played a bit of CSGO as well. Really enjoyed it. One of my big regrets is I kind of got slack and I just thought, oh, this isn't like, it probably isn't going to blow up like esports. It'll probably like taper off and like gaming will be whatever. And of course, now you look 2020 with what's going on, gaming and content creation and all that is, you know, at the forefront of everything, in every organization and industry. So, kind of regret that I stopped. Had a bit of a hiatus coming over to Australia. Actually, one of the big reasons I stopped was Australia's internet is pretty crappy. This is before NBN days. Even with NBN, it's still kind of average. But yeah, so been streaming for a while.
Fantastic. Yeah, I can really relate to that. I started back in the Cyber Gamer days. So, you know, just hooking up with like three or four, trying to find some scrims online. And it was that kind of mindset where, you know, is this actually going to become mainstream in the next couple of years? That was during the COD 4 Pro Mod days as well. So that was where we went pretty heavy during those times, going through a couple of lands and stuff, then gradually got into CSGO like yourself. But it was definitely one of those times where it's, you know, it's something interesting, but is this going to be like a main thing or just like a side hobby? So I guess there, as you said, that's where you had to kind of make a decision whether to pursue that kind of career or not.
Yeah, I mean, it does take a lot. It does put, you got to put a lot of time into it. So that was tough at that time.
100%. So in regards to, I guess, building your brand in regards to basketball and esports, a lot of traditional athletes, you know, build their brand on, you know, social media, whether it be Twitter or Instagram or even Facebook pages and everything. In your opinion, how important is it to, you know, establish yourself on these social media platforms to engage with your audiences?
Yeah, it's huge. You know, if you talk to me, the me of 5 years ago, I was very bad at it, very lazy. But, you know, like I said, 2020, it's a whole different beast. Social media is huge. You know, one of the social medias that's actually really interesting is for me is TikTok, and wow, how like the growth on TikTok can really influence like your, I guess, your brand and like your following in some sense, because it's still kind of new and it is really easy to blow up on TikTok. And not a lot of people do it. And I'm sorry, not a lot of like professional athletes do it. So it's definitely like it's definitely one I'm trying to focus on. I just got to figure out what content I want to put on there. But yeah, social media is huge. As you've seen, like a lot of like the most famous athletes in the world definitely use social media to, to build their brand and grow.
Yeah, 100%. I definitely think it's one of those important things, especially for upcoming streamers as well, just to establish your identity and kind of get yourself out there, because I know a lot of Twitch streamers just purely stream on Twitch. They don't really brand themselves out on different social media platforms. And I think that's where they really limit themselves in their audience reach. So I think, you know, as you highlighted, it is really important to expand to all potential platforms, including, you know, TikTok. Just so you can kind of get that external audience reach.
Yeah. If you're streaming on Twitch and not utilizing any other social media like YouTube, TikTok, whatever it is, you're pretty much, you're just trolling, because unless you get really, really lucky or you're in that 0.001% where you are at the top tier level of gaming for whatever esports title you're playing, it's impossible to grow. It's actually impossible to grow, in my opinion, because the, being found on Twitch randomly is very difficult. So using those other social medias to boost that is definitely important.
Definitely. You know, you have the big guns who take the leaders of all the game categories, Shroud, Ninja, all those kind of people who have already established themselves in that scene. So it's so easy for them to transition from one game to another and still maintain that audience just because they've built their audience and they've built their identification online.
Yep.
So in regards to other NBL pro athletes, is there any other people taking the same approach online as using Twitch as a platform to, I guess, engage with their audiences?
Oh man, it's not only the NBL players then, I feel like it's the NBL as a whole. You know, I tweeted the other day, I was trying to get 10 NBL players to play Among Us.
Yep.
You've probably seen it. Yeah, I think it's really just a missed opportunity. You know, I know like a lot of younger kids who, you know, I'll keep using Among Us as an example. They're literally playing Among Us all day, every day. And like if I flip it back to the NBL, I mean, the AFL and that don't have as big an issue with this, obviously, because they're bigger. I feel like the NBL's reach to some of those younger people, like you've got the people who are established and love basketball and love the NBL, but like getting that new generation of people through and like getting them to know what the NBL is through not specifically esports, but through that social media and then using esports as well to leverage that. But yeah, I just think it's a missed opportunity, but maybe I can help change that. We'll see.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely think it's one of those challenges. You know, you look to, I guess, traditional times, you know, a lot of people really didn't go ahead and, you know, participate in gaming. You know, gaming was this kind of foreign thing that wasn't really, I guess, conjoined and, you know, strung with traditional sports. But it's really good to see, you know, a lot of athletes coming out, you know, participating online with, you know, playing games. I know Josh Dugan from the NRL, he's a Sharks player. He also streams on Twitch and does different content creation as well for the NBA 2K. Yep. So I think that, you know, it's definitely really good to have that kind of connection between traditional sports and esports as well.
Yeah, well, it's especially important with, like I said, that next generation coming up, because gaming and esports is kind of their thing now. Like, it's almost taking over from traditional, not taking over, but it's definitely like right there at the forefront. And if you can find a way to combine the two, it just brings in a whole new audience. So, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. There's just so many younger audiences starting to get more interested in gaming in such an early age as well. Yeah. You know, you could probably argue that some, you know, some younger audiences are getting engaged in gaming rather than traditional sports over it. So it's definitely interesting to see how you can kind of attach to those audiences as well, and I guess build that kind of branding around it as well.
Yep.
So in regards to esports, obviously we've seen, you know, as we just said, so much exponential growth within the last 5 years. You know, what do you think some of the positives are coming out of this? You know, obviously there's bigger, better competitions. There's, you know, esports arenas. I know there's some esports arenas being built over in Perth. A lot of universities are starting to adopt esports leagues so that we can have national tournaments between universities. You know, is it, you know, there's more games coming out. You know, there's so many more positives coming out. So what do you think the growth is going to look like within the next few years?
I mean, if you look at the last 5 years and the growth it's had, it's just I feel like it's just going to continue to keep pushing forward. I mean, Australia obviously I feel like isn't probably the best indicator for that, but if you look overseas in like NA and in some parts of Europe, like where they're at right now is definitely a spot I feel like Australia can get to. I mean, you definitely have factors. You know, you need, first of all, you need the investors, you need the money. But like you said, with them building esports arenas and all that type of stuff, it's just going to continue to grow. And as the younger generation like grows up, it'll just keep, I feel like, keep pushing up and keep growing.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely think it'll be super interesting. As you said, you know, over in NA and EU, they've already established so many dominant leagues within esports, and they still maintain such a strong traditional sport counterpart. Yep. So it's really interesting to see how they've grown those two domains. But then you compare to Australia, we've kind of started to adopt esports gradually, but it's definitely nowhere near as big as, you know, the big titans over in NA and EU.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that just comes down to money. It's always going to be an issue. You know, if there aren't investors willing to put in the money, then it's going to be tough for that growth. But I mean, it's going to be a steady growth. Australia, obviously, population is a lot smaller, so again, we face that issue. But yeah, I mean, hopefully, I'm hoping that it keeps growing, because I've enjoyed watching and seeing it grow. You know, I remember watching this. Obviously, again, is in Australia, but watching the league first season world championships, it was pretty much in a basement. Yeah. And now they're playing in sold out arenas, averaging more than like the NBA game seven views over on Twitch. So it's crazy. And I hope it keeps growing, because yeah, I love it. So I guess we'll see.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I definitely can reflect on that, because I remember I participated in the league beta. I participated in the Fortnite beta. And at the time, you know, did I really think these were going to be such exponentially growth games? Probably not. But it's really interesting to see, you know, such a short span, 5-6 years, the growth these had, the audiences they've brought in, the money they've generated. So it's really interesting to see where we can go from here on out.
Yep, I agree.
So more about yourself. So what kind of games are you playing on Twitch at the moment?
I'm actually facing an issue. I gotta pick one. I've been struggling to pick one, but I've been playing a lot of Valorant. I feel like I'm pretty good. I was Immortal 2 yesterday, now I'm back to Immortal 1, but I feel like I'm pretty good at that game. Always love playing COD. I feel like it's a more casual game for me. And then, you know, go back to my the initial days, I was playing a bunch of League, CSGO. You know, I'll do the occasional variety game with the missus on a Sunday. And then begrudgingly, I'm playing a lot of Among Us, which it's not my favorite game right now. It was initially, but the sweat fest is starting to take over, and it's starting to annoy me. I was actually streaming it last night. There's nothing against the people we're playing with. It's just they just know too much about the game and just like the meta, and it's just yeah. Just let it be fun. That's how I feel about that game.
I remember the first week Among Us came out and people were already starting to think about esports tournaments for it. Like, you know, it's kind of that kind of party game. And I saw on Reddit, obviously Reddit's just an absolute, you know, fest for all that stuff, you know, different, just a whole big compilation of just different strat calls. And yeah, it is definitely, it's definitely one of those games that it's actually been out for quite a while, but you know, just as Twitch probably exploded it up. And I guess that's where everyone got on board the hype train for it.
Yeah, it's crazy. I can't scroll through any social media at the moment without seeing Among Us something come up. So it's yeah, I think it's a great game, and I love the fact that it doesn't matter who you are. Like 3 or 4 games in, when someone points the finger at you and says like you're the imposter, your true personality will come out. Like there is no hiding it. You will come out. So that's what I really enjoy about it. But yeah, just keep it fun. Keep it innocent. Just keep it wholesome. No sweats.
Yeah, keep the sweats to the FPSs, really.
That's it.
So obviously, going from Immortal 2, you know, even just being an Immortal, that's a significant thing to be in Valorant. I know a lot of my friends who are, you know, really strong Counter-Strike players were able to reach, I think, Diamond 1 just because they didn't really have that extra ability, mechanical ability to use different abilities for different champions. So how do you think, coming from, you know, a Counter-Strike background into Valorant, those extra abilities, how did that everything, you know, work for you?
Well, I love it because you kind of chuck a bit of League of Legends like into CSGO, and I guess that's kind of what you get Valorant at the end. So for me, I've played too much League. I don't even want to look at all my accounts. It's probably like a year worth of time on there. And then same with CSGO, probably played like 2,000 hours or more. Like I love it. Like I think it's a really interesting way. I think there's still a bunch of stuff they need to balance, nerf Jett, but it is a fun game. It's more casual, I feel like, than CSGO, but it also does have that sweat where you can, when you're playing ranked and you can climb and stuff. But this is kind of the first game in a while that I've jumped on from the start. So it's been fun to like, you know, I pick up games pretty quickly, so like being able to grind ranked and get to those high ranks before, you know, inevitably all the 14-year-olds come and take over, just like Fortnite. So, it's been good.
Yeah, for sure. What I really love is, you know, this is the first episode where I've had, you know, a traditional athlete, you know, on the podcast talking about esports as well. So it's really good to, I guess, from your perspective, have that background in basketball and, you know, all the psychological skills that go into basketball, you know, the flow state, the mentality, the cognitive ability, the mental toughness, everything from that, and then translate into, you know, having this kind of really obviously performing well online in Valorant.
Yeah, it's actually crazy. You know, as I've gotten a bit older, getting more aware of like how your emotions and like how your mindset can affect your performance. You know, even playing basketball for such a long time, you know, I've never thought about that side of it. Like thinking, like if you think negatively, you're going to miss this next shot. If you think positively, you're going to make the next shot. Just having, especially in the professional level, like having teammates who genuinely, this is obviously hard in a pug in Valorant, but having teammates who celebrate when you do something good, who are like all those things, I think, are completely transferable, even to Valorant pugs. And then obviously in the pro scene, like it's just crazy the amount of games I'll lose in ranked when there's one or two negative people. They don't realize it, but it's always usually a young person that'll get angry or whatever, but like that their mindset bleeds into the team, even though it's a pug and you don't know these people, you've never met them. Like your psychological state during those games can be affected. Like if you make a play, you mess up and your teammates are talking shit or, you know, calling you out instead of, you know, encouraging you. Cause you know, most people in those higher ranks, if you're immortal, you didn't just get there luckily. I mean, some people do,
true.
But
yeah.
So they are good at the game, but if you're berating them, that's going to affect their performance. That's not, it's going to affect their decision-making. They're not going to play as aggressive, or they're not going to play as passive or whatever. And that for me, like I'm 28 now, getting a bit older. That's been really like interesting to watch. Cause like I've got some close, not close friends, but some guys that I've played a lot of Valorant with. And it's cool to see how, I'm not calling anyone out here, but when they're negative, how much it'll affect their performance, but they just don't see that yet. They don't understand that. So yeah, it's been interesting.
Yeah, I definitely do, you know, 100% agree with everything you just said. You know, that ability to, I guess, have that self-efficacy to believe in our own individuals and our individual capacity to perform, you know, a particular task, you know. For example, if we pick up an AWP or, you know, pick up a sniper, for example, and we have that confidence to essentially get a few picks. But then if we, you know, get, you know, taken down, for example, we get berated by our teammates, you know, there's that kind of toxicity around that. That can, as you said, definitely hinder our performance and I guess our ability to think, you know, I'm going to give this another crack because, you know, you might just get berated again. So I definitely think that establishing, you know, in comparison to solo versus queuing up as a five man, having that team dynamic, having that team, I guess, you know, where everyone's on board with, you know, we're going to do this, we're going to have that decision versus playing in a solo queue. Having that team dynamic is so strong.
Yeah, 100%. And when you are playing solo queue, something I've been doing more is make sure everyone's got a mic and they seem kind of positive. Because if I'm telling you, if you enter a lobby with four people who, you know, having a bit of banter, whatever, you have like an 80% chance to win that game. I don't care how good the other team is. Like if you guys are good on comms, you know, everyone's being pretty positive. I literally win all those games. It's crazy. It doesn't matter what rank it is. And no one's immune to this. Like, I think every player, I mean, some people, there's exceptions, but like a lot of people, it's human nature. You get affected by your environment and what people are saying. So yeah, as you said, if someone's berating you, you're not going to be able to perform as well as you could or should.
100%. Yeah. And, I guess a lot of the things also comes into it, as you said, you know, before the game. So, you know, how do we prepare for, I guess, you know, going into a ranked game or going into a high decisive basketball game? You know, how do we mentally prepare for that? And I guess it's really interesting to see, there's a lot of people obviously have their own individual ways of coping with stress and anxiety and going into a big decisive game. For yourself, what were the kind of things you kind of adopted when going into, for example, a basketball game that was really important for yourself?
This is a pretty in-depth question, because I think for me, I don't really think about it. As soon as the game starts, I go into that flow state, I guess. It's like you can't hear the crowd anymore. You can't, like, you're just there to compete and play and do your job, essentially. And that's, I guess, one of my advantages throughout my entire career that's helped me, you know, it's even helped me in esports, I guess, with some of those titles is my competitiveness will like always outweigh everything else that I'm feeling. So like, I will want to win at all costs. So I don't, like, in my career, people have never really called me like a selfish player or a person who's playing for myself. You know, there's games, of course, that people will do that, but at the end of the day, like, I want the W. So I always have that like mindset where it's team first, and like getting that win is better than, you know, trying to take on three people and get a layup or Omen TP into the base and go for a 5K or whatever. So I feel like for me, it hasn't affected me that much. Then there's been times like you get like a big one is injury. You know, you get injured, you're out for a while, self-doubt, all that stuff starts to kick in. But for the majority of my career, I've been able to just kind of go in, play, not worry about it.
Fantastic. Yeah, I really think that's really positive because, you know, a lot of people, you know, if I reflect on myself, I interned at the Melbourne Rebels Rugby Union Club. So I got to participate with them and just see, you know, before a game, before we go out onto the field, you know, the warm-up, the, I guess, the pre-game concentration state that everyone went into, you know, whether that be using relaxation, using meditation, using positive self-statements, you know, I can do it, I can take the enemy team, you know, And also one of those big things that a lot of people used, and especially in some of the people I've talked to online about esports, is imagery. And having those really good visualizations to, you know, imagine yourself in those winning situations. Was visualizations anything you ever used?
I'm trying to think. I don't think so. You got to remember NBL budget a bit lower than NRL budget, but in terms of like resources and stuff, but no, I don't think I have. Maybe that's one I got to try. I'm trying to think of stuff I've done in the past. I've watched, one thing that actually I think helps is I've watched like game, so not like tape, like so game footage, but not more, not like scouting stuff. So you do that anyway before a game, but like literally like a 3-minute clip of yourself doing good things. Like it might seem like a weird, like a, oh, that guy's being like, I don't know, like cocky or, you know, watching his own highlights, but like, like you seeing yourself do it, like mean, like in your brain, whether you're realizing it or not, you're like telling yourself, yo, I can do this. I'm nice. I'm really good. Like having that mindset leading into a game, you're going to play better. And then if bad things do happen during a game, being able to snap out of that and then, you know, go back into that other state. Like for me, like this is, so I feel like I've been more like this the last two seasons. My first 2 years in the NBL, I was really bad at this. I was coming off a big injury. I actually ended up having nerve damage in my leg. It took me like 3 years to fully recover. It was bad. So coming into my first year, I was still a little bit injured, and I was listening to all those outside voices, people saying like, reading stuff on Twitter, then, you know, you keep getting that negative feedback. Eventually, like, you're going to convince yourself that this negative feedback is like true, or is what the truth is, I guess. So, but yeah, these last two seasons, you know, using some of those tools, I've definitely got better at it.
Yeah, for sure. It's really insightful for yourself. And, you know, I commend yourself going, getting through that injury. And I know a lot of things for some people, it is career ending, but it's really good to see that you've, you know, you went through it. And one of the analogies I like to use often is climbing a wall. You know, we climb the wall, and however big the wall is, we still have to climb it, right? We still have to get over the task, get over the obstacle. And while we're climbing the wall, wind may blow and, you know, we might get knocked around and we might feel like, as you said, you know, we might have self-doubt. And it's one of those things that we need to get over to establish that proper sense of well-being and establish that proper psychological mindset, because ultimately we can't afford to fall off the wall, because that's where we end up at square one.
Yep.
And gradually we'll chip away and we'll climb over the wall, and that's where we'll start to, I guess, come out the other side and, you know, really feel that good sense of, yes, I can do it. Yes, I can perform. I have that quality of life and I have that ability to perform. So I really think, yeah, it's really, you know, important to have that mindset. So yeah.
Self-doubt is the killer of, you know, whether it's sports or esports, it'll kill your career if you've got self-doubt. So definitely can't be having that.
Yeah, for sure. And just touching quickly back on, you know, watching over those clips and stuff, looking at your past performance, was that something you did by yourself, or was that something you did with coaches, or was that, you know, how did everything work around that?
Well, we do team film. My old coach is probably gonna, if he does hear this, he'll disagree with me, but we used to watch pretty much our whole game. And I think that's a bad thing. Watching the whole game in a team environment, like let's say you've made a mistake, right? But let's say you've made that same mistake, I don't know, you've made it twice in the game. And then that first time he pulls it up in film, has a go at you, whatever it is. And then it comes up again. And again, you get told like you're doing it wrong, but you know, you already know you've done it wrong, right?
Right. Yeah.
Versus, you know, other teams I've been on where, you know, it's a 20-minute film session. There's negatives, like you guys did this wrong, but then there's also the positives. You got did this right. So that's something that, like, you know, I actually told my old head coach about this, like that I disagreed with. Because I think you need those positive reinforcements. Like I said, there's a very small percentage of people that are literally immune to this kind of thing.
Yep.
But most people, you know, they need positive reinforcement. Like they need to be told the negatives, but then they need that positive reinforcement so they can go on and have that mindset that it's okay. And then the other stuff, watching the film individually, that's all just individual, just, you know, whether it's game highlights, whatever it is, YouTube, whatever it is, like just being able to like reinforce that positive mindset.
Yeah, 100%. And I really think that is important what you brought up, you know, whether you're watching a, you know, a clip or a match, you know, a match might be, you know, I do kind of agree a match may be a little bit over the top, but regardless, you know, that feedback from the coach is so important. And, you know, some people really don't like having feedback in front of others. Some people would really prefer it on an individual basis. And if they get berated in front of their coach, in front of their teammates, that can really have a negative effect on us. And one of the things when I was doing my sports psychology subject is, you know, we kind of implement this thing with feedback, you know, called the criticism sandwich. So we have maybe one really good thing that they did well, you know, you had really good ball possession, whatever it may be. Then maybe one thing you did bad, and then, you know, reinforcing that, you know, last positive statement. So
yep.
I think, you know, I agree with you fully that it is important to, I guess, you know, note that, you know, maybe you didn't do this really well or, you know, whatever it may mean, but it's important to, I guess, not really go all out with feedback.
Yep, I definitely agree.
So in regards to the negatives of consistent, I guess, gaming, you know, a lot of people really come into the esports with a mindset that it's going to be sweet, it's going to be fun, we're going to, you know, really get a lot of games in. But then there's also that kind of negative part of it, you know, the addiction, the mental health side of things, the inactivity. You know, what's your take on that?
Oh, I mean, this is really hard because I play a lot of video games, but then the other side, like I'm a professional basketball player. So I'm also getting out there, working out, practicing, having
100%
that stuff. So like, it's, I guess it's hard for me to answer that quick because I don't really have an experience with like the negative sides. I mean, I guess a good way to put it is too much of anything is a bad thing. Like I'm a firm believer of that. Like too much basketball practice is a bad thing because, you know, overuse injuries, like mentally you can start breaking down, like all that overuse stuff. So gaming side, I think too much gaming can definitely be, you know, a bad thing as well. You know, if we look at an esports environment, if I know a lot of esports orgs have adapted this where they'll find that balance between gaming, like reviews and film, and then also physical activity, because having the whole package is going to make you a not a better human being, but a better human being. Like you're going to be more fulfilled in life, you know, having all these other things instead of just one thing only. I guess that's kind of my take on it.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely, you know, being a sport and exercise science student, I really stress the importance of balance and ensuring that, you know, you are, one, ensuring that you're getting enough physical activity a day and, you know, you are getting enough, you know, proper nutrition. And, you know, if you're doing those things, I guess, you know, it kind of allows you to enjoy yourself in whatever hobby you want. And if that's gaming and kicking back and queuing into, you know, obsessive amount of Gs, you know, you've put the effort in prior to that. So I guess, you know, when you look at the inactivity and the addiction rates, I think most of that is with, you know, teenagers and younger adults, just because I think one of the most important things is those, you know, that kind of age group is really trying to stem themselves. And as we talked about earlier, you know, they're the ones who are trying to really try and grind and push into the higher ranks. Yep. And they're the ones who have a lot more free time, you know.
Exactly, yeah.
In high school, you know, you look at the comparison between traditional sports training, you know, maybe you're out in the field or on the court for maybe 1, 2, 3 hours, but we can easily get sucked into, you know, gaming for 5, 6, 7, 8 hours.
Is that it? I've definitely done bigger sessions than that.
Those are rookie numbers.
The COD beta was out this weekend.
Oh, yes.
And I played 13 hours in one day.
Dang. So, yeah. How did you find the COD beta?
I liked it. I really enjoyed it. Like, I guess this is like bad, but I like when games are new and everyone kind of sucks. So then I get to stand out more. But I really liked it. I mean, I'm interested to see how the transition for like Warzone will be, like what they'll change or whatever. But the multiplayer was fun. Just played it with a few mates, so it was good.
Yeah, a lot of people were complaining about skill-based matchmaking. the whole SBM. Yeah, I didn't really notice it either. I played
because I had some games with bots, so and then some games where there was, but that's I guess like even like that, like going back in other games like Fortnite and stuff, like it used to be so much fun versing players that weren't, I guess, great. And then you would have those sweat battles as well. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know what I feel like about, I don't know how I feel about skill-based matchmaking, but I guess it's just like a mini rank system, but is what it is.
Yeah, I think a lot of people do get carried away in that obsession to, I guess, constantly be competitive. So I guess that's where, you know, if you do implement skill-based matchmaking, then you're, I guess the argument they made was every casual or every game you queue into, you constantly have to sweat and you constantly have to grind, and you just want to, if you just want to have a casual game. So I think there are some interesting arguments, but it really felt like, it kind of felt like a little bit like Black Ops 2. I think that's why I liked it. I felt like the movement was good.
Yeah, I like the movement as well.
Yeah, the movement was good. I didn't really play much Modern Warfare 2019. I played tons of Warzone though, and I really liked the Dirty Bomb game mode, the implementation of that. I think that was really good. But it'll be interesting to see where they go with everything and when it comes out on full release.
We shall see. There's too many games coming out at the same time. I'm so sad. They got WoW, they got COD. What else? Something else is coming out. Cyberpunk. It's going to be a bad time for me because I love streaming everything. So,
so you know, with your streaming, just following on with that, is there any thoughts down the line to, you know, start to really be competitive and, you know, maybe participate in some tournaments?
I don't know. I guess this ties in with the negative mindset. Like I genuinely feel like I'm not at that level. Like I've played some games. Who was I playing with? I was playing with Iron, like the EXO guys. I played in like what's his name? Rice. I don't know if he's on a team at the moment, but I was playing with them. And yeah, don't think I'm on that level just yet. But I mean, if I keep grinding and get to Immortal 3, if I get Radiant, I mean, might as well give it a crack. We'll see what happens. But the competitive, so like I like grinding and I like competing like at those levels, but like at the end of the day, I think I do enjoy the content creation side more, and just being like fun on stream and all that. So I guess we'll see.
Yeah, it's interesting you brought that up because I had Rice on for episode 4.
Yep.
And he gave us some really good psychological insight into that, I guess, going into a tournament, going into a competition, you know, and just that really stressful situation.
Yep.
So I think, you know, when you get up there, it is those kind of stress-inducing situations. But, you know, once again, it's how you manage it and it's how you manage that anxiety and that barrier. And but I guess that's all in the fun of it, right?
That's it.
I guess what we'll just quickly touch on a little bit further was that whole flow state that you brought up before. So, you know, the flow state is really encompassing for a lot of athletes, a lot of esports players, because I guess it's that zone of optimal concentration. It's that, you know, zone where you have complete confidence. You're not afraid of making those mistakes, taking risks. You know, a lot of athletes also have that transformation of time. So, you know, it's where they think that, you know, things might speed up or things might slow down. They can see things, you know, a lot faster or slower. They have that whole paradox of control. There's that sense of being in complete control without actively being in control.
Yep.
So how do you think that, you know, that flow state, you know, in a basketball game or in a, you know, high ranked Valorant game has enabled you to perform well?
Well, it's actually interesting because I haven't noticed it as much playing video games.
Right.
Maybe it's just because I'm not aware of it. Maybe I got to like be more aware and like see if, yeah, like notice if I do like go into those states. But as I said with basketball, like it just happens. Like I just step on a court and like I'm in total concentration. Like my missus could be screaming at me from the sidelines and like there is no way I can hear her. So I feel like that's just 24 years of basketball experience wrapped into one. It's just something that it's something that I think with professional athletes that you have to be able to be like that or you just won't be successful. I talk about it sometimes about it's like having it. I don't know exactly what it is, but you can just tell with some people, and maybe it is that like going in and out of a flow state or that total concentration, because yeah, like you'll notice it in some athletes, like that they'll have the skills, but they just don't have that, like that mental, not mental strength, but like that mental fortitude. I guess it's the same word, but you know what I'm trying to say? Like it's just,
yeah,
something that you just either have or you don't. And maybe that is with gaming as well. You know, that total confidence and that whole package and that flow state.
Right. Yeah. I guess, there are a lot of things that also influence that flow state as well. And there are a lot of things that, you know, can't influence it. So, you know, for the example, you stepping in on court, you know, that external influence of the crowd, was that anything that ever impacted you?
I think majority of the time, no. There has been times where it has, but at on the other end, like I remember in college, playing college, I used to love it. Like when I was getting picked on by the opposing team's crowd, like I'm in their head now. Like if you've taken the time to like in college, it's crazy because they go to the next level. But I remember like they did research. They went through our Twitters. They went through like there was signs there of tweets I had posted back in the day.
Wow.
And in my head, instead of it going like, oh my God, these people know about me. These people like, what are they? Like, this is crazy. Like, I'm like, wow, this guy today finished work, went home, made a giant poster of a tweet, went like spent an hour finding the tweet. Like you kind of flip it the other way. Like it's I feel like it's a positive thing. But there's definitely been, like I said, with the injury that I had, I definitely let it affect me a lot more than I would have ever wanted it to. But, you know, mm-hmm. I feel like I'm getting back to that spot where I can kind of block that out or flip it and make it a positive.
Yeah, for sure. That's a pretty interesting story. It's definitely, when you think about it, it is one of those things that I guess that's external. And I guess for some athletes, it can impact their performance and it cannot. Yeah. But I guess it also turns into, it also adds on to that, I guess, level of arousal. And, you know, whether you're being over-aroused in a game or under-aroused and you have that optimal level of arousal, and once you hit that optimal level arousal, you go into that flow state, you just feel invincible. And I guess it's one of those things that just can't stop you.
Yep, 100% agree. Another one that I use is like having that mental edge. Like I guess like let's say you've killed someone three times in a row, like the same guy on site. Like if you can mentally go, I'm better than this guy. Like you can convince yourself that you're better than him and that he's worrying about how good you are. Like it actually, like it's not a great thought to have, but like you're just continuously positively telling yourself that you're good, that you can perform, you're better than like, or whatever. And like, same as on the basketball court, like you score on a guy. That's why you see all the guys in the top level, like how confident, how much swagger they have, because it genuinely helps their mentality and their performance. So, yeah.
And do you think that's one of those things that those, you know, obviously top athletes develop over time?
Well, that's like I was saying before, I think it's just that, I don't know if you can get it, but like people either have it or don't have it. Like from my experience, like I'm not trying to be some prophet here, but like there's, like I said, there's been times I've seen players and they'll get to a point where like they have the opportunity to like take that next step and like solidify themselves or whatever, and like they just never do. And I can't speak on the esports level, but I'm sure you'll find a million stories of guys who like crush it during the regular season or whatever, and they get to a final series and they can't perform, or they do horrible. And like those are like the, like I don't know if you can change that, but those are like the mental factors I think that like define it, I guess.
Yeah, right. I definitely think that it's one of those things that you do have, you know, as you just said, you know, you have it or you don't. And whether you have it, obviously can adapt and control and, you know, is a relay for your performance ultimately. So, you know, just kind of smoothing into the finish here, what kind of advice do you have for current traditional athletes looking to expand their audiences, maybe pick up Twitch streaming?
Advice? Ooh. I guess just content creation on all platforms. You know, it's, as athletes, you do have that prior audience that you can kind of lean on as a, you know, you're essentially like, let's say middle of the pack AFL player with 5,000 followers on Twitter, you know, start streaming. They, as long as they realize that when they start, like, they're not going to start at zero. They're going to have that base. So to use your sporting side to leverage the gaming side, if they do decide to go into streaming, and then just a bunch of content creation, being goofy, being corny, all that stuff, I think helps with all that stuff. If you watch a video of yourself and you think this is really corny, like, that's, it's probably going to be a good video, from my experience. And just being consistent with it and putting effort in, which, you know, athletes already, they have that that training and that mindset where they can put, you know, they can be disciplined to do that stuff. So, yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah. And is that the same thing on the YouTube side of things? Is that something you're trying to expand out into as well?
Yeah. So I actually just, I've done a million of them in the past, but two proper YouTube videos I've released in the last 2 weeks. I'm going to be doing them weekly. I'm paying an editor to do them, so I'm not doing it myself. And then, you know, I throw in my own little content stuff here and there. So, you know, we'll see. And YouTube's a funny one. You know, it really does start off slow. And then hopefully it can keep growing, and, you know, I'll get people from there to come watch the Twitch stream.
Fantastic. So just for everyone listening and want to find you more on social medias, where can we find you on all platforms?
/ Drimdog on Twitch, at Anthony Drimmick on Twitter, at Drimmick22 on Instagram, and then I think the TikTok is Anthony Drimmick as well.
Fantastic. I'll be sure to check out.
I should uniform those into one name. I think that might be a good step.
Yeah, that's the problem I had to try and do, go through and ensure my clickers was available on all platforms.
Yeah.
All righty, so thank you very much for joining me on MyClickers episode 6 today, Anthony, and I hope everyone got the opportunity to have some insightful thoughts and take away some really good things, especially for current traditional sport athletes looking to potentially expand their audiences and get in on the Twitch game.
That's it. Thanks for having me, guys.
No worries. Thanks a lot, Anthony.
Appreciate it.
Alrighty, for all of you who managed to get to this stage, thank you very much once again for listening and being supportive of the podcast. I think today was a really good episode with Anthony, especially just because we got that traditional sports perspective and it allowed that comparison between, you know, mental mind states in performance for esports and in basketball. So thank you very much. And you know where to find me on all platforms. My click is on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. I don't know, maybe I'll make a TikTok. Who knows what happens? But thank you very much. And I will see you in the next one. Peace.